Luke chapter number 13 this morning. Book of Luke chapter 13. As I did last week, I'm going to deal with a fairly small section of Scripture. And I've entitled this, this might sound goofy, When Your Salvation Isn't Good Enough. When your salvation isn't good enough. Okay. Did I get your attention? Okay. Thank God for salvation. Amen. Verse number 23, and I want to read down to verse 30. Notice how it says, Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open it us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Scripture. We thank you for the privilege to be able to handle it, to be able to look at it, to read it, and yea, through your Spirit to understand it. We pray for your anointing this morning, your power, your Spirit to move upon our hearts. Teach us, help us to grow in you, to be more like you. Bless in these moments in just a special way, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In verse 23, we find a very remarkable question that is asked. And that question is, Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? We don't know who asked this question. Doesn't say. It just says, then said one unto him. We don't know if this person was a self-righteous Jew who believed there was no hope for the Gentiles, or if this was like some of the Greeks that the Apostle Paul met up with that were constantly speculating on some subject. We don't know the mindset. We don't know why it was asked. But evidently the question was worthy enough that the Lord answered it and had it recorded for us. So there must be something very good and real here for us. It's plain from his answer that though whosoever will, many, if not most, will not enter in. And I believe he's talking about in the kingdom of God, which is basically, we might just say, into heaven in this sense. Now, as we look at this text, there's some things that are difficult, and they're hard to answer. They're hard to reckon with. And if we don't use good biblical interpretation, we might draw some wrong conclusions. We've probably all been guilty of that somewhere along the line. If we've not been guilty, we've certainly heard it from others. Now, as we're looking at this text this morning, to deal with it, I want to look at three different words. And I hope that as we look at these three words, it will give us some help and a little bit of an outline as to what is going on here. And perhaps answer the question, when your salvation isn't good enough. And I put salvation there, by the way, in quotation marks. Okay? Notice verse number 24. And perhaps here is the most difficult passage for you and I, because it says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. That almost sounds like we need to really try in order to go to heaven. That's the way a lot of people would take that verse. That's how they would teach it. That's what they would believe. And how many people do you know that they're saying, you know, if you ask them, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They say, well, I'm really trying. Or I hope so. Well, thank God I can know so. By the way, I thank you for your prayers. Last Friday, I went to see my cousin. And we talked for a long time, talked about all the nonsense stuff we did as kids. And I shouldn't say we, she did it. I just sat around and saw all of that. And we had some good time with that. And my wife was there, her daughter was there, and we just... It was basically her and I talking, once in a while their daughter talked. And it was a good time together. And finally, I was hoping she would give me an opening. Because a lot of times when they do that, it's helpful. And the only thing she ever got around to spiritually was talking about the Christmas songs. And that jarred something in my mind. I thought, it's time to start, bud. So I said, have you ever heard my testimony? And so I began to tell her about how I got saved. And the reason I did that was because God impressed upon my heart that she needed to understand, like herself, though there was a lot of religious background, there was no experience of accepting Christ as Savior. And so I went through all of that and talked to her, and she understood what had happened. And I said, do you have that? And she looked at me, and I expected to get this answer, well, I'm really trying, but she didn't. She says, no. Would you like to? Yep. And to the best of my knowledge, my cousin got saved last Friday. And it was a thrill to me. She and I were perhaps the closest of all the cousins. I was around their family more than the rest. And by the way, there's something very, very special about that. She's been told she's only got, she hadn't been told, but they know she's only got a few weeks left. She is in that bad a condition. And so it was a great thrill. Well, let's look here, get myself back into this. And we look at verse number 24. And you may not notice this at first, but this is really a picture of a wedding feast. See, a wedding feast, yeah. Most of the time, they were held at night. And so people would come through the darkness and come to this place and come through the gate and they would get into the party and they would just have a great time. And so the Lord's trying to, I think, give us a little bit of an allegory here, help us to see something. They were coming from the outer darkness to the place of light because there would be light there. And perhaps they could see it afar off. I don't know how far, but depending on their distance, they could probably see that light. It might even been a guiding light for them. And I think about this word strive. And I don't believe here it's something that we're striving at doing this and doing that that we might gain our salvation. Because the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I, we believe that... Salvation comes by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. And yet it says strive. And as I look at that word strive, I don't believe it was mentioned that it's referring to really trying to get saved. It is something whereby we see the light and we're headed toward it. Let me put it this way. Have you ever known somebody that you talk to them and you say, would you like to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'd like to go to heaven. Well, do you realize that you need to you need to see your sin for what you are and ask the Lord to forgive you your sin, and all of a sudden you lost them? Because they're not really intent upon the idea of going to heaven. It just sounds like a great idea. And so there's not that striving there. When you got saved, there was a real desire on your part to accept Christ. I don't know what brought about, but you had a conviction in your heart, and you wanted that. It might not have been a very long period of time. It might have been a long period of time. But you desired that. And I believe that's what the striving is talking about. And you notice something here. It says, strive to enter at the straight gate. Now, the word straight simply means it's a narrow opening. And so here you'd come all this distance, whatever it might have been, and the light's up ahead, and you keep on going, perhaps stumble a couple times, but you get there, and you want in. Now, the only way in is if you have an invitation. The porter at the gate would check that invitation, allow you in or not. See? He was the guard. When you look at the word porter in the Word of God, you find it's basically talking about guards. And they had their security teams in the temple. Did you know that? And so here we find that they would come up to this narrow gate, and they would then show their invitation or saying basically, I've accepted the invitation, here I am. Okay. You didn't enter in on somebody else's invitation. You didn't come in a great big group and all of you walk in at one time. It was a straight gate. It was narrow. I would say one at a time. And so each person would have to show that kind of proof that they were who they said they were. Something like we should do in voting time. Amen. I believe there'd be many that will seek to enter in, but there'll be a lack of faith to do so. A lot of people believe they're going to heaven, but they've never believed in the groom within. A lot of folks want the feast, but they don't want the featured one. They want all the goodies, but they don't want the one who's really involved with that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find the word strive. There's another word that caught my attention many, many years ago, preached a message on it maybe two or three times, I don't remember. And you find that word in verse number 25. That's a very simple word. It's simply shut. Shut. And we find here it's talking about a door. Now, doors are made to protect. Isn't that true? Last night you went in your house, you probably shut your door. Couple of reasons. You just want anybody to come walking in, plus you didn't want it to get cold in your house, did you? And so a door is made to stop somebody coming in that's on the outside. But that door also represents something else, and that is it is protecting the ones on the inside. So it's got a twofold job in that regard. But then we also know, because it's a door, it is a means of access. So those that are on the with outside can be on the with inside, and those on the with inside can be on the outside. But we find here something very unique. Right now, do you believe anybody and everybody can call upon the Lord and get saved? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. We believe that. And if you're like me, sometimes if you've dealt somebody and you look at that word, whosoever, and you say, who is that? And perhaps you name a few folks and name yourself and name them, because that is true. In that sense, our name is in the Word of God, whosoever. And so we have the privilege right now to come through that door. Jesus said that he was the door. And we have that privilege. But we find something's going to take place, and that is that the door is going to be shut. There's going to come a time when salvation is no longer available. It's not going to happen. And there comes a day when God's grace and that door will be closed forever. The throne of mercy will be removed. The throne of judgment will be erected. I think about the two in hell described in Luke 16. And in verse number 26, it says this. And you know the story, Lazarus. He was laid at the gate of the rich man, and he was a beggar. And yet when he died, he went to be in Abraham's bosom, which is a terminology talking about basically we'd say heaven. And the rich man says in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment. In verse 26 of that same chapter, it says this, and beside all this, between us and you, he's talking to the rich man, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. By the way, you cannot find purgatory anywhere in the Bible, and certainly that verse says there isn't. There's a great gulf fixed. What do you mean? The door shut. The door shut. When I was a Boy Scout, I remember what troop I belonged to. It was Troop 10. And I was in the Wolf Pack. And we went one day to the city jail. Now, in those days, the city jail was in the buildings between Pearl and Main Street. I don't even know what they call that building now. But there's some administrative offices in there. And, of course, later it was brought to the, fourth or fifth floor of the courthouse. And, of course, now it's down the road from us here a little ways. But in those days, they took us over there to see the jail. And as I recall, there was one person in jail. And it was kind of like in a circle kind of a situation. So we didn't go to where we'd actually look in the cell and see this guy there. And there was one room. And for a little guy like myself at that time, it looked like a big room. Matter of fact, our whole troop went into that room. And we're looking around, and we're looking at that steel bed that's there, thinking, man, this wouldn't be very comfortable laying on. I could just imagine the pillow they would give you, if they gave you one. And I'm looking around, and I look at the toilet, and there's not even a lid on the toilet. If you're going to do a sit-down job, it was going to be on the porcelain. And I thought, man alive, how horrible this must be. And so while we're all looking around, do you know what our scoutmaster did? And the policeman who was showing us around? They snuck out the door and locked it. And looked in the little window and laughed at us. I was petrified. I thought, surely they're just, you know, trying to show us what it's like, but it was scary in my mind as I'm thinking, what if they don't open that door? What if they don't care what my mama says? Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow. Well, they unlocked the door, for which I'm thankful. But this door will never be unlocked. It's shut. There are those who believe that they should be on the inside, but they're not. And we're going to look at those in the next verse, or next word, if I could. If you drop down to verse 27 with me, and we'll find that word. It's, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. The word I'd look at here is depart. Depart. Because they were unknown for any faith, they were expelled. You heard somebody tell you to get out? You ever been anywhere and somebody said, I don't want you around here? And I mean, it's a horrible feeling because it's a feeling of rejection. And they are being rejected. They're saying, they're being told to depart. Well, the door was shut, and so they began to knock at the door and ask him to open it. We find there in verse number 25, and he says, I know you not whence ye are. And then they say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. They said, you know, we've had some religious experiences. If you've dealt very many people throughout your lifetime as a Christian, one of the things you're going to find is that when you talk to them about salvation, they're going to bring up some sort of religious experience and try to pawn that off onto you as if that they are saved. That's what the woman at the well did. She's trying to say, hey, your fathers did this, but ours did this, and it's just as good as yours. But the Lord's trying to teach us something. Our religious experiences are of no value. They're of no value. Today in our world, we have some big groups of people. You might put them under the label of prosperity gospel. Crazy stuff. I mean, it's crazy stuff. I saw a video yesterday. And it was a picture of Bethel Church. Any of you folks heard of Bethel Church? The worship leader was a woman. And no offense to women, but, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of women coming down off the pedestal they're on and trying to be like a man that they aren't. They made you, God made you feminine. God made you in a very special way. Thank God for it. Because there's some things that you can do as a woman that none of us guys can do. Amen. But it's not your job to pick up a rifle and go out into the field and begin to fight with the enemy. And so God's made us in two different ways. But here's this woman, and she's gone to the Word of God, back in the book of Zephaniah, and for the life of me, I do not know. But she said that the Hebrews said that means a turning around. The King James Version has nothing to do with turning around. If I can remember the verse, I'd take you to it. It's in chapter 3, I believe. And she said it means it's a turning around. And she said it's whirling. And so they began to worship God by turning around in circles. I didn't know when I was a kid that when we were doing that to make ourselves dizzy, I was worshiping God. Did you? That's how stupid some of the religious experiences are today. They're of no value. You can come up here and do all the pirouettes you want. It's not going to get you any closer to heaven. It's not going to make you any more desirous for God. They were of no value. And we find something here, and that is, when he says depart, it's too late. It's too late. Do you ever think about this? Hell is full of truth. Not finished with the sentence. Full of truth known too late. Full of truth that is known too late. Do you think the rich man in hell now believes in hell? Do you think he wishes he was out of there? Even from the statements he made, please go back, talk to my brothers, we know that be the case. But they're told to depart, get out. Leave us alone, basically. I'm going to take you down to the last verse we read. It says, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. One of these days there's a great change coming. You know, today in this old world, there's a lot of folks who believe themselves to be important, and to the world they are important. They're looked upon, they're thought to be the movers and shakers. And yet there's a great change coming. Those who are great in this world are most likely going to be last in the next one. And those who are despised here will be honored there. Christians, they are despised. They're looked down upon. Matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, but our so-called president-elect, by the way, that's not a true statement, has said that there needs to be some rules against churches because they are places that harbor folks who hate. Personally, that meaning was Democrats, but no, we look down upon. There are folks now that are saying that Christians ought to pay for what's taken place in the last 4 years because it's been so horrendous. They've had to put up with Merry Christmas. I think every congressperson who doesn't want to believe in Christmas shouldn't take a Christmas break. Amen? Yeah. They have their own day. They should quit taking our day. April 1st is their day. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But you look around, we are despised by this world today. We don't notice as much here in our country, though it's coming very rapidly. In some areas of our world, do you understand what the Chi-Coms have done in China in the last 50 years? Do you know how many millions of people they have killed? Many, many, many of them Christians, simply because they believed in God. Somebody help me with the word because I never remember. There's a group over there called Fulon Gong or something. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I saying it right? Huh? I wouldn't put them in the category Christian, but they have a faith. It's a threat to the Chinese. They had a big purge on these folks a few years back. Killed thousands of them. And they hate Christians. If you have read some of the things I've read recently, it'd actually scare the fire out of you in this sense. They have their fingers inside of our government like you would not believe. You ever wonder why so many can go into Congress without any money and come out millionaires? And how is it their children end up with literally millions of dollars? And they hate God. They don't want you having anything to do with God. The reason is they want to be your God. See? And so we find that one of these days is going to be a change coming. And those that are despised are going to be exalted, and those that are exalted now, they're going to be despised. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. You mark it down. God has his ways. Well, it's good to be here today. Sorry we got a little political today, but geez, it's in front of our eyes all the time, isn't it? All righty. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. By the way, anybody got a question? I haven't done this in months and months. Anybody got a Bible question? I'm half scared to ask it most of the times because some of the questions I get, I think, good night. Anybody? Nobody? Okay, well, let's pray. Then I need to mention a couple of things. Father, I want to thank you today for this time we've had together. Pray you just bless in the hour to follow. Glorify yourself in all that's said and done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.